Happy 500 Unfuckwittable Episodes, Hip Hop Digest Show. It's your girl, Daisha. I can't believe I've been listening to y'all for over a decade. I love you, Kurt G, King Killer, and E Green. To many, many more episodes. Thank you so much for your dedication to the culture.
I understand what racism
Are you?
Is. Keith, don't go there. Do not go there. I know what it means to be a black man in this country. I know and I experienced racism on a regular basis by being a Trump supporter and by being a proud American who happens to be a Republican. I get
so that
racist.
So that's the racism
Keith,
you experienced by
finish.
Being a Trump supporter?
I get racist comments about my family, about my mother, about my girlfriend, about my character,
we
every single day from
were,
a mostly coming from black people, Keith. If you really want to get down to it,
country.
I'm from
not
my family's from Georgia. Keith, let me finish. 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 Let me finish.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And Ezo Grigio. What's up, my brothers?
What's good? What's good?
Happy recording evening.
Happy recording Friday evening.
We're at it again.
Yes, sir. 2 weeks in a row.
And I got the Zima in hand this time, though.
Yes, okay. You do.
No doubt. So anyway, I forgot my party favors. You know them things that go for the 500th show.
Oh, yeah. happy New Year, nigga.
Yeah, right. One of them things. So I forgot my party favor. Happy
Those
New
streamers
Year.
Streamers and shit.
Yeah.
All acquaintance be forgot.
So, 500 joints. Actually, it's probably more than 500 shows if you consider all the above. But in any case, by number wise, it's number 500. So I'm sort of celebratory. Woohoo! Woohoo! So we have a couple order of business that we're going to get through again with the commemorative mixtape celebrating the 500th show. The deadline is still July 21st. Bang! Drop dead. All right. Past that, you're short. All right. Now, once again, I'm gonna say it again. This isn't Roc Nation. This isn't Bad Boy. We don't have a budget. None of that shit. So, you know, do your best and submit. That's all you gotta do. So, as far as that goes. And a second order of business, since it is the 500 show ongoing, I made an executive decision.
Oh, wait a minute. You forgot something about that.
What did I forget? What did I forget?
But before that.
Oh, what?
When this shit is done, the deadline is over. It will not be out 2 weeks later. It's going to take a minute for us to mix and master this shit. So it will not be out immediately. We don't have Bob Always Smoking Herb Powers working for us.
Maybach music.
Damn, he going through them.
So it's going to take a second for us to do this.
Yeah, no doubt. So, yeah, it's going to take a little while before the tape drops and everything like that. Now, where did I get interrupted at?
You made an executive decision. You straight deboed both of us on
yes,
this.
Yes, yes. And I'm going to put it out there for full disclosure. You know, I made an executive decision, and he's correct. I deboed both of my colleagues about the fishbowl. I didn't like the fishbowl, didn't want to do the fucking fishbowl. I got rid of the fishbowl. Now, you want to be on the show? We know you want to be on the show. We want you to be on the show. But when we get around to selecting somebody to be on the show, they'll be on the show. No, I ain't, you know, it's not that serious. It's just your neighborhood talk show, your friendly neighborhood talk show. Do not get offended about the fishbowl being canned. So everybody will get a chance to be on the show. Hopefully, you know, that's that. Now, I don't know if we have any peanut gallery comments to that effect, because I did. This is King Killer. This is strictly my decision. So you don't have to get on Swerve. You don't have to get on Kurt G.
You know, my dad do be caught tripping. He want his bike back.
No, so we could share the bike.
Oh, there it is. And we'll be up to King Killer to navigate how this happens.
So,
There it is.
Anyway,
cheers.
So indeed, so since we're on a 500, I don't have a whole bunch of topics, but we're just going to kind of do an overview of kind of from each of us what the show has meant to us, any comments about the show, et cetera, on 500. So I'm going to let E. Color, the West Coast, talk about the show and what he thinks about the show.
So the Hip Hop Digest show to me is not even a show. It's just an opportunity to have a conversation with my brothers to talk about this genre of music that I love. And whether we want to say official 500 episodes or whether we want to say official 13 years or whatever it is, the fact of the matter is, this is my whole life, yo. And I just appreciate the fact that there are people out here that actually care what we're talking about and actually, you know, get in with us. Let us know we got it right and let us know we got it wrong. Love it. I love it. I love the hip hop community. And this vehicle that we got, yo, I'm in forever.
All right. G?
Ditto what he just said. It's not a show. It's we just get around and talk. I know probably if you've been listening to us for a while, you heard us say it. This is what we've been doing as long as we've known each other. When we get together, this is what we do. We just sit around and talk about whatever topics is happening. And you guys are getting a taste of that. So it's not like a show. It's just us having a conversation, and people like us like to hear us having our conversation. And it is all, it's humbling. That it, to me, is really humbling to hear that people actually want to listen to us, and they love to hear us every week with this. So I appreciate y'all.
All right. Now, as for me, I can't lie. It's pretty scary for me. I mean, only because, I guess, as Kurt G would say, I'm the Johnny Carson of this. Don't want to be. You know, I think I talk too much as it is, but... None that being, all that being said, this always, every time we do the show, it always takes me back to like one of my first arguments. I remember when I was in high school and shit, maybe I was built for this because we was going heavy. Who's better, Run or DMC? I just remember I'm a DMC guy. I'm like, Run is too fucking loud and shit. DMC's the man. Those are like my first arguments and shit. You know, so I've been doing this type of back and forth for a long time. So, but certainly I appreciate all the listeners, the text chain, which is nuts. I learn an awful lot that I don't know that contributes to the show from the text chain. To be quite honest with you, I don't nobody know everything. So, you know, I humbly, you know, say respect to all those who participate in our family called the Hip Hop Digest.
Well, let me ask you, sir, let's flip it back around. Do you have any like favorite moments or favorite episodes or topics that you ever did?
If this was a real show. Now, hold up.
If this was a real show,
if we had a staff who could go back in the archives, certainly a lot of shows early on when we did the show every week drunk. I mean, people don't even realize.
Yeah, those, we used, if you have
the
those,
original drunk
yeah,
champs.
If you have those, you are lucky.
Yeah.
We don't even fucking go back that far. Them shits is way past just drunk.
Yeah, we were drunk. But on one of those shows, I have to say to this day, my favorite part is when you said, yo, what happens if somebody had a clip that had Master P going and a Young Jeezy going, yeah, that's my favorite part. It totally broke the show up. I fell on the floor laughing. It just totally just broke the entire show up. That is so awesome.
That's
to me
crazy.
Yo, that's my favorite part. I mean, probably right close to that is the 100th when we had Kev Brown and them.
We had the whole low budget family.
We had
this
jamming the whole low budget and Sim City. They was freestyling, you know, cats was on the wheels. It was incredible.
Yeah, Roddy Rod on the wheels. That's been in the background music for the show.
Yeah,
crazy.
It was incredible.
That's you, Kurt.
Me, you got me, because my memory is terrible. So I need somebody to bring a clip to start playing clips for me.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I for me, I have to say anything that we did early because it was the beginning of us doing this shit and trying to figure this shit out, and every week just trying to get more and more professional, I would say, because we had to cut the drinking out at a point like, damn, nigga, these shows, we are fucked up.
And slurring, saying wrong words.
Saying some words that you shouldn't be saying, dropping bombs. Politically incorrect words these days.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Well, I think for me, hands down, for me personally, when y'all two went in, I think it was in the early, before 100, but when y'all went in on that child support, yo.
Yeah, B. Oh, yeah, B. That struck a nerve, B. That struck a serious nerve, because I was like, yo, that's just, that, it still fucks with me to this day. I could go in right now, nigga. Because it don't make sense.
But you got to preface that by saying we went into child support because me and Kurt G had children that we, you know, that we had custody of. That we went and got custody of.
Right.
Okay? And that we didn't get one penny
of child support.
Child support.
Not one penny.
Okay? And we didn't want to hear.
Deadbeat moms,
right,
nigga.
We didn't want to hear nothing. About what? See? No broads is talking about.
You're about to do it again.
I'm just saying, we didn't want to hear nothing about what no broads talking about some child support. So
yeah, we was upset.
And then of course there was the episode that we almost didn't air, one where we were being like real family with our discussion. Remember Kurt G, we were talking about the. It was a black thing, and we were talking about how blacks act and this, that, and the other.
Oh yeah.
That show was crazy, too.
Yeah.
That was like a bonus show right there.
It was, exactly. So
almost didn't make it.
Yeah, we certainly have gotten our feelings on the show and have gotten at each other. But again, I think that brings a beautiful balance to the show.
Right, because there's no, we're family here, for real. We love each other like brothers. Nope. We love each other. So there's... We might get into straight dust-ups, even before pre-dust-ups, before the show, maybe in during the show, but after the show, it's all love.
Man, Kurt, remember that time before we were in pregame, he was like, nigga, you know I love you. I hope you ain't moving for no ass.
Yeah, B. B. Yeah, B. I'm like, nigga, you going all the way out to California, B?
That's how real it is when y'all don't see us.
I hope you ain't moving out there for some ass, nigga.
Okay. Yes, sir. So, yeah, man, there's a whole lot. Like you said, it's more than 500, but 500 official. There's been a lot said, and I do love you, brothers, and we're going to do another 500 at least.
Indeed.
Yes.
No doubt. So, let's keep it rocking. It's actually not even a topic. I'm just going to go ahead. I've seen it on the text chain. If you have it handy, if you don't, or if it's in flux, you know, don't really matter. The Hip Hop Digest personal top five.
Oh, wow.
If you got it handy. I got mine handy.
Now we got to do five. I thought it was three. You're going to put the pressure on.
No, well, you can do three. I mean, it's all good. It's all good.
Top. You mean our personal top five?
Your personal top five or top three, however you want to get down.
Okay. Well, fuck it. I can rattle mine off, but you can go ahead and get yours handy.
I got to look for it. Hold up.
Well, go ahead, Kurt.
Well, my top three is pretty much locked in, but number three can fluctuate every now and then, but it's pretty much locked in. Always rock him at the top. Always KRS One at the number two spot. And then I know niggas be getting at me for having Biggie at number three, but then it's Jay-Z, and then it was Nas, and I know niggas is gonna say it, but Black Thought knocked Nas out of the top five, out of my top five right there.
Okay, so tell us about, let's say, your favorite guy and your principles why he may be your favorite guy, or two,
okay,
however you wanna.
Rakim is my favorite because at that time in hip hop, me and you came together because of our love. To me, our love of Run DMC was crazy.
Right.
So Run DMC was everything to me. And then to hear this nigga rhyme made Run DMC sound like fucking ABC rhymes.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is going on? It blew my mind. I'm like, this nigga is rhyming on a different level. It was incredible to me. So he could never get knocked out of that spot because of what he did to me and how he made me feel at that point. Like, damn, he just done changed this shit. Niggas gonna have to throw away their whole rhyme books and start over.
Yeah. 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 And you hear Public Enemy interviews all the time talking about, yo, Bum Rush, the show was out. And then Eric B. and Rakim, you know you got Soul Drop. And even Public Enemy, pre-big time Public Enemy, was like, it's over for us unless we change the game.
Right.
So that was a big deal for them. So no doubt. Swerve, you got it?
Yeah, I'll go in. Again, mine is subject to change at the change of the wind.
Okay. All right.
All right.
And I say that because there are so many dope MCs that I've heard in my life. Okay. So this is not like an official. This is right now.
Okay. Yeah, so, real.
Number one, Black Thought. Number two, I'm going to say Sky Zoo. Number three, Rakim. Number four, Razzcast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Number five, that's a tough one, but I'm going to say, because it's right now, T.I.
Wow.
I know it's crazy, but it's what I like. And, okay. And if you notice my list, I got shit from coast to coast.
Well, you got some real official guys, fire spitters up there, so that's, you know.
Exactly. So to answer why you said, like, why, is because them dudes, like, to me, they actually put in work and they actually rhyme. And I mean, I know that there's a high level of, you know, respect for KRS-One, hell, Kumo D, Melly Mel, and all that. But I'm not doing a comprehensive, I'm doing it right now.
Okay,
and it's a personal.
And
it's a personal list.
Right. And even, you know, Sky Zoo. People could say Jay-Z, but Sky Zoo is like a better Jay-Z to me, personally.
Indeed. Right.
And I slipped. I meant to say Royce the 5'9". So see how it goes?
No doubt.
But I'm confident with the five I said.
Okay. That's what's
and,
up.
There it is.
That's what's up. King Killer, I'll start from the bottom up. I keep this list with me only because, like I said, my list rarely changes. But I start number five, KRS, for obvious reasons. And number four, Black Thought. Number three, Rakim. Number two, Nas, which is maybe subject to change soon. Who knows? And number one is Kumo D with a note, the treacherous 3 years.
Okay.
Now, unlike Kurt G, which is true what he said about Rakim, I say the same about Kumo D. Because when Kumo D was in the Treacherous 3 and how they were emceeing, to this day, I still say, and just in my humble opinion, the dividing line between the old school, largely party emceeing and professional emceeing starts with Kumo D. Now, I know there's a lot of Melly Mel guys who are going to dispute that. I get it. But I'm just saying, again, personal, I say it starts with Kumo D. I was always a guy who thought Mo D was better than Melly Mel anyway. So again, hence the early days is why I got into a lot of arguments behind that shit.
Kumo D literally changed the game.
Right.
But without question, anybody can listen to it. You know what I'm saying? He changed the game from call and response to actually saying sentences and shit.
Right. Indeed. So those are my top five. I'm going to add one other note on that. My list, obviously a young person would say, oh man, well, they're just full of old guys, et cetera, et cetera. I still put, you take somebody not even in the culture, you take a what do they call, linguistic person, linguistics, and I put my guys from my top five up against any of your modern cats. And a linguistics, I believe, person, not even in the culture, will say You know, your modern guys is just okay, but these
guys...
Be
careful, though. Okay. Are you saying modern guys or commercial guys?
I'm saying commercial modern guys.
Okay. No, yeah, this you got to clear it up a little bit.
You do, because there's some young fire spitters.
Oh, no. There's some guys in the underground that is, crazy. No, I'm talking about commercial guys. So, and I stand by that. So, somebody gave me some food for thought the other day. Maybe I even read that on the text chain where somebody was like, when they call you old, the first thing to do when they call you old, you know you won the argument because that's all they can say about you.
Yes, sir.
they're stuck at that point.
Right, right.
You dinosaur-ass nigga right here.
Yeah, no doubt. And I want to give a quick shout-out to the top five DJs. What can I say about that? At number five, DJ Cash Money, Philadelphia Cash Money. That is.
He's going to have quite a few Philadelphia guys.
Okay, that's real. At least two. Yeah. Number four, J-Rock. I love J-Rock. I really do love J-Rock. You know what I mean? No doubt about that. And number three, maybe you hip-hop guys haven't heard of him, DJ Louis Vega. He is like us, or he's like me in that way where he started out as strictly hip-hop and a B-boy. And has crazy beat vinyl to his credit, but now does largely house, but he's in there at number three. And number two, DJ Scratch, EPMD doing him dirty. That's a whole nother story. And obviously number one, everybody knows it, DJ Jazzy Jeff. I'm gonna say rest in peace to Rock Raider, Jam Master J and others who aren't around. I miss that in modern culture. Modern commercial guys. I miss that. I miss the DJ. The DJ is such an afterthought.
That's how hip hop started.
Right.
Shh, don't tell nobody.
So the DJ only goes on the tour with him.
Yeah.
And he ain't doing much.
Right. I was going to say, he ain't really doing nothing. So, you know, gone are the heady days when Jazzy Jeff can scratch go-go at the Capitol Center and make them think it's a record, or make it sound like it's a go-go band. Gone are the days of Terminator X, you know, just and Jam Master J continue to bringing the house down. Those days are gone, and I miss it. You know, I know that's dinosaur and shit. You know, I know that's fossilized shit.
It's underground, and you can find it on YouTube.
Ain't that the truth?
So it's right up under the Paleozoic area.
You brought it.
Damn.
So no doubt, I certainly miss it. But anyway, but that's the essence of again how generally our brain works. You know, as far as the Hip Hop Digest show. And so let's get into some other quick topics. It's just how the show goes. We're going to keep it 100 like we always do. First topic, or I should say, as we continue on the Hip Hop Digest, this is Count the Amount, but this isn't so much a Count the Amount as we're actually counting the amount, but maybe counting the ways of the amount. And let me get into it here.
A one, a two, a three.
Thank you. Rapper 6ix9ine or Takahashi. How you pronounce that dumb shit?
Takahashi on 6ix9ine.
Skittles.
Whatever. It sounds like some spoiled Japanese food.
Or Skittles, as he was called today earlier.
Indeed. He was granted bail.
Wait a minute, nigga. I'm not going to let you slide back there.
What happened?
Nigga, did you just say some spoiled Chinese food?
That's what it sounded like to me, yo. But I'm just saying. In any case. This guy,
Tenactin.
This gentleman, Mr. 6ix9ine, was granted bail following an emergency hearing due to gang threats. Mr. 6ix9ine was moved to a secure Rikers Island facility for sick inmates for his safety. The source goes on to say that the source with the knowledge of the case, Mr. 6ix9ine, 22 years old, was put there not because he was sick, but because of his fame. The facility sometimes uses the sick ward to put high-profile inmates who fear for their safety. Mr. 6ix9ine, who was grabbed at JFK International Airport on an arrest warrant for a misdemeanor assault in Texas. During his arraignment, Takahashi, or 6ix9ine,
spoiled Chinese food,
said that he was threatened.
Number four.
He said that he was threatened in central booking by gang members. Gang members calling him a bitch and threatened to cut him. Takahashi feared for his safety and was visibly shaken during the verbal onslaught. this is counting the amount in the fact that I'm counting the amount on blogs and other media, pro 6ix9ine. I thought he was a boss. I thought he was a gang member, OG boss. Why would he be afraid to go to jail, number one, and then two, be afraid by gang members in jail when I thought, I'm counting the ways that 6ix9ine is going around OG style. He's slapping cats. What's this emergency bail release? I thought he should be at home in his element. Am I wrong? Have I been reading the wrong headlines?
Well, well, well. Let me hit you with this. Just real quick.
Am I playing fantasy rap? That's all what I want to know.
Yes, yes, you are.
I am?
You are playing fantasy rap. What it is you got a character here. And he's playing a gangster. He bet on gangster.
Uh-oh.
As you like to say. He talks the tough talk. At least he was talking a lot of tough talk. Talking shit. He ain't scared of all of these niggas and this and that. All the videos he was putting out. Talking a lot of shit. Had a lot of niggas mad at him. Had niggas on the West Coast mad at him. Niggas in Texas mad at him.
And niggas in Chicago, I heard.
Mad at him.
Right, no doubt.
Niggas in New York fucking pissed at him. He put himself in this position. So now you go to jail, Mr. Tough Guy. You go to jail, and now you got to answer for those words you was putting out there in the streets. And now you see some real tough guys looking you in your face and about to fuck you up. And now you're scared. Now you're pissing your pants. Now you need safety and protection. Now you're looking for the guards.
Swerve?
In jail. In jail would help the bail.
Swerve? I just want to clarify something.
Go ahead.
I'm asking you, was I reading the wrong headlines leading up to him being nabbed at JFK? I'm just saying, was I reading wrong or reading too much into it?
No, you were not. It's a mixture of what you are thinking, saying, and what Curtis just said. See, out here in these streets, you can get away. You can catch an airplane, fly away from Chicago. You can go take a rapper's ex-girl or baby mama shopping and get the fuck out of there. You can fly to L.A. and fight in the street and get saved by whatever and get the fuck out of there. But when you in jail, where you gonna go? And there's a whole lot of people that don't got fuck to lose in there. You might get tested for real.
So my next logical leap on the count the amount but counting the ways is a young boy who want to argue 6ix9ine's that dude. Okay. Now us as grown men, you know, and the like, we're not buying it, never bought it. But a young boy, he might want to argue 6ix9ine's that guy. See, he's the guy in the street, you know?
I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV.
That sums it all up.
So 6ix9ine, who may want to compare himself to a guy like Bumpy Knuckles?
No way in hell.
No, not even close.
he's not even close. He's not even Bumpy Knuckles pinky.
So, you know, who is a boss who may want to say, you know, I'm like, a real guy out there. So that narrative, according, and I think we've proven it on the Hip Hop Digest, is false. I got one other question. Who is responsible? I know why the blogs do it. I know why the majority of the writers do it. But who is generally responsible for putting the narrative out that this guy is some type of authority figure?
Who's he himself?
And he
did it.
And a bunch of niggas and some gang affiliated niggas too.
Yeah.
That was backing him. Only because he was popular and he had money.
Right.
And they wanted to be down, maybe get their team on somehow. So they also helped prop him up.
All right. Well,
it's another sad situation, yo. Real talk. It's crazy. And we have been talking about this for a couple of weeks, how these young boys out here wilding. And they don't want to hear from no old heads. So you find yourself in situations like this.
Huh. Indeed.
Don't listen till your ass is getting stretched out. Mm. Now you want to listen. Now you want to listen.
All right.
Damn.
So continuing with counting the amount. This is the actual counting the amount. Next topic. YG arrested for robbery in Las Vegas casino.
Damn.
YG is facing felony robbery charges for yanking a dude's chain off his neck. According to the police, his chain had a diamond-laced pendant. YG is seen on a Las Vegas casino video picking up the necklace and pendant valued somewhere between $3,000 and $9,000.
Racks on racks.
The alleged victim is also suing YG, claiming he had his goons beat him up before he snatched the jewelry. The guy wants at least $250,000. So let's see, he's being charged with a felony robbery. Damn, yo. I mean, YG is a pretty successful guy, isn't he?
At least yeah. I thought he was. I thought he was making a little noise, making a little
look
money.
Like it out here.
But I guess this nigga looked like food. He's like, oh, this little soft nigga running around with this chain. He don't need it.
Wow. And why would YG, again, a guy who is considered a boss of some sort, of course, in the West Coast, I believe, either Swerve or the Lehmans will have to clear that up. Have goons out in Vegas and then commit a felony robbery. I'm sure they had plenty of money.
Bruh, that goes back forever. Why would Tupac get in a fight at the shit? He got plenty of money and prestige. It don't matter, B. People do the dumbest shit for the dumbest reasons.
That alcohol, B.
See, the point of the counting the amount is that we're trying to understand why it's necessary beyond youthful exuberance, okay? But why it is necessary to commit a felony. If I had YG's money, but then I guess I wouldn't be YG because I'd be somewhere holed up chilling. So I wouldn't be him, and the excitement around him has to do with, hey, what is one more felony if it gets you a couple extra $100,000 per appearance?
Well, depends on what the hell the cops want to do with this situation, though.
Let's see, felony robbery, YG, he'll probably pay a very large fine, but he will not do a day in jail.
His goons might. For the beatdown.
Maybe. So that's the real counting amount. On the 500 show, we hadn't done a counting amount in so long, you know, that I thought maybe it would be, maybe we'd have to retire the topic, but
No.
No, you're never going to retire that. As long as we're talking about this shit, there's always going to be a nigga that wants to be in the counting amount.
Exactly.
All right, let's keep it rocking. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is G-Funk, the documentary, The Untold Story of Warren G and How Hip-Hop's Most Iconic Subgenre Came to Be. It is on YouTube Premium for those of you who can afford that. The rest of us will have to wait, but it is out. I don't need to see the documentary. I am not a scholar when it comes to G-Funk, although I really enjoyed the hell out of it when it was out. Just like any genre, if you want to call it, I only really have one question. I was watching the clip, and I seen a clip of Wiz Khalifa saying, well, I'm the only one, I'm keeping G-Funk alive, or something to that effect. I did not know Wiz Khalifa did G-Funk. I don't think I've ever heard a G-Funk record from him. Maybe I'm wrong.
Because he smoked weed like Snoop? I guess he thinking he doing G-Funk?
They want to get high. I don't think so, bro.
Okay, I just wanted to clear that up. So, but let's talk about it. So some people are going to obviously get their moment in the sun during this documentary. Obviously, the late, great Nate Dogg is certainly going to get his due justice. There is no G-Funk if there is no Nate Dogg.
Right.
I don't care how well Warren G was producing. I don't care what rhyme Snoop was saying. There is no G-Funk without his voice. That's just my personal opinion. I don't know what y'all think about that.
Yeah, I am pretty much agreeing. Matter of fact, I would go as far as to say that I would pretty much consider Nate Dogg the greatest hookster ever.
Well, yeah.
As far as hip-hop.
As far as hip-hop, I'm waiting for other people to name somebody like Akon. T-Pain. Come on, B. This is the type of thing that blogs do, you know. We're talking about Nate Dogg, who stands head and shoulders above anybody else as far as doing hooks directly from hip-hop, okay? And I believe that Nate Dogg would appreciate him in hip-hop, not the other way around. It's some of these other guys, you know.
No doubt.
So, G, very little to say about G-Funk. You don't like G-Funk, do you?
I wasn't a fan like that. I like the way Dre did it. But I remember a quick funny story about G-Funk. This nigga back here, he was rocking the afro back then. And all this nigga used to say, I dead ass, this is no fronting. All this nigga used to say whenever, he was like, you know what, I'm getting ready to start rocking that Drew Down joint.
No.
I'm getting ready to get my shit permed and start rocking the Drew Down. And I would be like, B, the fuck out of here, son. You're not doing that. You're not fucking doing that, B. This nigga was dead ass serious, too. Tell me he about to get his shit permed and rock the Drew Down.
Yo, I ain't even gonna lie, yo. I was rocking an afro back then, but I just wanted to see what it was like just one time, yo, to rock that Drew Down. Just to see what kind of, with that reaction from the honeys or whatever, you know. I was gonna go for it, yo, but these niggas beat me down.
I'm like, nigga, no.
What was next, DJ Quick?
Nigga, no.
All I know is after that, I was rocking heavy braids.
Yeah. And there is a picture of you with the afro on our Facebook too. So
is it? Oh my goodness.
Bro, it's on there.
So yeah, wow. That's what's up.
But anyway, down.
I don't want to just gloss over the G-Funk situation real quick. You're right. I mean, some people would say Warren G was the real king on that. Others would say Dre. I think that you had some guys in there. I mean, I remember The Source wrote a very, I ain't gonna say a glowing article about Domino, but they were saying Domino's gonna be around for a while.
Two cuts.
That didn't happen.
Ooh. The Ghetto Jam and something, Pumpkin Pie or something. Like,
yeah. Sweet Potato Pie or something that nigga was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Something
two
that nigga
cuts.
Was saying.
Yeah, yeah. No. No doubt.
Ghetto Jam is a something shit.
Right.
But no, I did like G-Funk, but I liked it in moderation, be honest.
Okay. That's real. I think Montel Williams owes his whole career to a lot of G-Funk as well. So even though that's more R&B, but
I thought it was loose. I thought he owed his whole career to Slick Rick.
Well, that too, yes.
Even stole his delivery. I used to be so mad when my babies would sing that shit. I'd be like, that's Slick Rick.
I know. That's crazy. That remind us going to New York one time. Me and Igri going to New York and shit, right? And the motherfucker Houdini beat come on and it was Anne-Marie.
Yeah, yo. We're too old for that shit.
Ingrid was so disappointed and shit, right? I mean, because the Houdini beat was crazy. You know Larry Smith, it was crazy.
And you remember, shit. I hit Jahlil.
Right, and he's back and forth on the text with Jahlil and shit.
And yo, you know this shit's happening?
Yo. And the next thing you know, Anne-Marie starts singing to Ingrid like, yo, I hope you're getting paid for this.
Yes, sir.
That was hilarious and shit.
Good life, yo.
No doubt. All right, let's keep it rocking. Next up, we're going to Hip Hop Digest. This is kind of a two-part situation, just in time for the 500. Because it's the type of topic that kind of might sum up everything. Hip Hop is evolving / just ask its superstar. So a gentleman by the name of, we talked about him before, John Carmecca. I'm butchering his name. I know I am, but fuck it. He's a pop music critic for the New York Times. And he wrote this article basically talking about, well, the article obviously, like most pop articles covering rap, is flawed in a lot of ways, but he's talking about how hip hop is evolving, and he covers it from the commercial angle. So he talks about Kanye West, Drake, J. Cole, and Jay-Z. Now, he's talking about those guys, and the only reason why he's talking about those gentlemen, because they currently have projects out. Okay? He doesn't cover it as a whole. He's just covering the latest guys with projects out. If he'd have did it 2 months from now, it'd have been two other guys plus two of the former. But in any case, let's start with, he goes through each of the guys and he says, over the past 3 months, four superstars have released albums that have come from different angles. But sometimes the intergenerational tensions that are exposed through music and not words. So he's already saying it's through music, but not words. So he's already stripping out what we talk about on Hip Hop Digest about MCs for supremacy is about their words. He's already stripping that away, okay, to cover some of the guys who are lacking in writing their own lyrics. First, he talks about Kanye West, acknowledging the fragility of his mental health and speaking about his bipolar diagnosis. Has that affected his stature in the evolving hip-hop world? Kerji, you say.
I don't know if it affected his stature, because Kanye West at this point is, I guess you would call him an enigma, because he just, you don't know what the fuck is going to happen or where he's going to go with it and how he's going to do it and how people are going to accept him.
Okay. I'm going to just answer that a simple yes. He is correct on that. That has affected his position, his pole position. These guys, it's very simple. These guys are about hype and sales. Now, Kanye got a lot of hype, doing a lot of dumb shit with Trump hats, but his sales aren't, since Pablo, they're not there. Let's just be honest, you know? So, yes, it has affected him. Then he goes on to J. Cole. J. Cole is a finger-wagging, semi-scolding of the younger generation. But then he backs Cole up and saying, but Cole understands that hip-hop's generational battles can be as poisonous as the ones between outside genres. And he made the humane choice to reach out to, at this case, Lil Pump, and, you know, reach out to him and try to build instead of scorn him. Again, see how he strips hip-hop out? See, J. Cole, you know, on that 85 joint, he hammers these young niggas, okay? Because the young niggas can't rhyme. He hammers them. But then he was saying, but then J. Cole got smart. He wasn't smart when he was hammering them. J. Cole got smart after he hugged them and embraced them and said, we're going to build and we're going to build these guys up. How you going to build up guys who just aren't good?
Now, see, I'm a disagree on one thing.
Indeed.
There's no problem with reaching out and building. There's no problem with that. You can reach out and build. There's not a problem with that. The problem is where these niggas ain't got no skills. There's where the issue's at.
Okay. Well, but the article surmises that Cole ultimately was smart because, you know, once you strip out hip-hop, then you gotta seem like you like Pump or any of these other guys, 6ix9ine. You gotta like them so that their audience don't turn on you. See, what's that got to do with him? Is this a popularity contest or is this hip-hop? So you even said it. There's nothing wrong with reaching out. But B, are you sitting up here telling me Pump, again, is one of these guys who got skills who don't use it?
Nah.
Better not.
Nah. I won't even put my foot in my mouth on that one.
Okay, Swerve. I mean, now I'm going to ask you, is J. Cole's stature, did he do the right thing in keeping his stature high amongst the future audiences of commercial rap by not dissing Pump? Or did he take a chance on future credibility burn by sort of walking away from 85?
Well, it's a two-sided sword because he did do 85. And you can't take that away. You can't erase that.
Right.
But so it's done. But I don't think J. Cole really has to worry about that because he doesn't have the stature of a Pump, let's just say. Not to say that he shouldn't, because he really absolutely should. Shouldn't be questioned. But J. Cole has his own lane, he has his own fans, and I don't think it's gonna bother him or them for that matter. Unless he comes out doing some mumble shit.
Right. J. Cole has the career lane where he's gonna be around for a few years. He's the type of nigga where you can say I can see him getting a 10-year, 15-year career.
Okay, right. No doubt. So, of course, then it gets around to the corporate rapper. He said the corporate rapper's calm acceptance of his diminished public stature. Marital strife has a way of undoing hubris. When he performed alongside his wife doing her acclaimed Coachella set, Jay-Z seemed small. So here we go. We got the guy who's got that crazy bank account, seeming small up against wifey, seeming even smaller up against the new generation of commercial rap.
There's a lot of new bees out there. There's a lot of new bees out there, B. There's new bees being born every day. Because mama was a bee, now the baby's a bee.
Son.
Come on, man.
You seem a little frustrated there, Swerve. See,
I mean, it's ridiculous.
The article is flawed. That's what I said on the outset. The article is flawed.
Very much so. I mean, I'm sorry. You now, think Jay-Z gives a fuck, really, about somebody calling him small? I mean, it was a waste of fucking words, yo. I mean, whoever, I forgot who even said wrote this shit. Are you kidding me?
Well, whoever he is, I butchered his name, but let me repeat. He is
it
a
doesn't
pop
matter.
Critic.
Fucking put the Richie with the Rock. It doesn't fucking matter what his name is. He's just talking dumb shit to finish a deadline. Get the fuck out of here, B. And I'm not a Jay-Z fan like that, but are you fucking kidding me?
Well, B, he's talking about public persona and stature. Now,
and whose fucking pictures are still all the fuck over the internet? Whether it's got that motherfucking helmet on that shit or whatever.
I know, he looked crazy, didn't he?
Motherfucking Jay-Z is still in the fucking public eye regular, so.
No, but look.
And he getting money.
So, but what I'm saying is, look, well, we've done a couple of corporate rapper things in a row. And again, like I said, you know, when he put that Carter shit out, and I gave it the 30-second smell test or whatever, and I couldn't even, yo, I thought it was just absolutely hilarious, you know, where this guy is, Marcy Projects, you know, I mean, he had every single hustler, in the town we grew up, one of the guys who was big time hustling came down. You know, funked out Q45, you know, crazy rims, just crazy dough and shit, right? Jay was his man. He talked about Jay in glowing terms about really articulating the hustle street life that regular niggas, maybe like me, who used to run nickel bags up and down Willis Lane, don't know nothing about. You know what I mean? You know, no doubt. You know, big, big, big money nigga.
Right.
But now, again, the hubris of Jay, the wifey, you know, whooping the llama's ass and shit. Like Kurt G said, yo, he had to do what he had to do to tighten it up.
But hold on, yo.
I have
got to say this.
Okay.
Jay-Z is not 20-something.
No doubt.
Not 30-something.
No doubt.
Nah. Jay-Z ain't pushing packs in the hood no more.
Of course not.
So he ain't got no business talking about that shit no more, right?
Shouldn't
so
be.
So he's married, got kids, and he want to be in a fucking turquoise suit and rap? Fuck it. Let that man be. Because he's still getting money.
No. Yeah, he is.
Which is what they people out there make to be the big ass deal anyway, because there's a bunch of motherfuckers ain't saying nothing getting money and you hold them in such high regard.
Right.
Get off Jay-Z's dick, yo.
All right. All right, there it is. We're going to move past Hov then. And then last and not but least, Mr. Blackface Drake himself, who now feels like the youngest member of the older umbrella. So now, you know, when he used to be the young guy, but now he feels like he's the youngest member of the guard who may or may not be getting pushed in a certain way. He said, learning that the emperor has no clothes is an emotional, taxing experience. Now, that came across for Drake and his fans. Learning that the guy wasn't really the guy. So now we've seen it. This guy is Mr. Everything to a whole generation of folks. And now they have realized that the guy really isn't the guy.
Who are they, B? Because there are stale fire engine riders stands.
Oh, and they're going to be.
They still love them.
They're going to be me. And for each one of these guys, there are stands. Okay? Mm-hmm. There are Kanye stands. He's the genius. You know what I mean? There are Eminem stands. You know, oh, I don't know, M still top three, you know, despite that Music Now shit he put out last year is ridiculous. Ridiculously whack as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, there's always going to be stands, and Blackface Drake certainly has a bevy of those. But just like things that happen, whether if it's your man got caught in some marital strife, hope, or ether, the same thing that happened to your man. You didn't think it was going to happen to your man.
Oh, yeah, he was bulletproof for
a while.
Yeah,
he was bulletproof for a minute, okay?
Yeah.
You know, but now he, you know, the hubris, he's backed up a little bit, you know?
He took that Tyson fall. He got up like, damn, I didn't expect to get hit like that.
We talking about BFD still?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we can call him whatever we call him. I like to call him Blackface.
Maple Leaf. I don't care. Yeah, I'm just wondering if we talking about him.
Yeah. All the old school terms apply. Mr. Canada. I know some people don't like it, but come on. We're talking about your boy. But the article, what he's saying is hip-hop is evolving and that you could clearly see guys in an evolving moment. I think ultimately what he was trying to point out is guys in an evolving moment and what that may or may not mean, which got me thinking about the ethos in which the Digest kind of resides in. I believe, and I still believe, I may not live to see it. The day that commercial entities, whoever they may be, turns their back on commercial rap. Now, hip-hop's not going anywhere. It's too much in the underground to come in and fill the void. But I think he's giving us an eye in how do you see... We're old enough to remember when Hov was bulletproof.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was at the top.
Right. I'm remembering after Yeezus came out. Well, really, it started at 808, but once Yeezus came out... Look, even the people who are Kanye guys were deep down, they were embarrassed. They were embarrassed, but they had sold their soul to this guy. So they had to call him a genius. They had to make up words, avant-garde. You never talked that shit, never came out your mouth in your life.
Yeah.
Okay? But now we see his vulnerable points. I don't even know why J. Cole got wrapped up into that. Just other than the fact that
J. Cole don't even belong here.
But that's what I said off the break. He only mentioned these guys because they got projects out.
Right.
Because he doesn't really cover hip hop. He doesn't know who got the latest records out. So, so overall, when you take hip hop at its whole, again, that's why I still continue to be into the value part of hip hop. And what I mean by the value part in hip hop is your DJ any good? Is your guy who's doing your production, you know, and all the above? And is your rhymes on point? Because ultimately, that's going to be here. That's going to be here.
Right.
That's the staying power.
Right.
Because if you got good beats, you got good rhymes, what the hell? That's all you need, good beats, good rhymes.
And I still maintain that hip hop is... still, because I guess I still believe in hip-hop, and I don't believe I'm playing fantasy hip-hop, but I still believe that hip-hop can exercise those guys. I mean, Maple Leaf-type guys. You know what I'm saying?
Hip-hop only go ahead. Let me slow you down.
Okay.
Hip-hop is already exercised, those guys, because they're not hip-hop.
Right.
We don't claim them.
They're not in there.
They're not. We don't claim them. See, guys like Hov and Nas, we still claim to a certain point. So that's those kind of guys you can say, okay, we might want to exercise them at some point if they get too far off the edge. But as far as somebody like Drake, that nigga never was accepted in hip hop anyway.
Well, that's true.
Not
well,
to us, to our generation, we never accepted that nigga.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We never accepted him in our generation. Now there's generations after us that thought the nigga was hip hop, because he's hip hop to them, because that's all they knew. Because hip hop to them is what was being played on the radio. They don't know underground.
Exactly, and that's what I was gonna say. As long as you got radio talking about hip hop and R&B, which they should basically be saying rap and R&B, but when they're talking hip hop and R&B, then people automatically assume wrongly that shit that's on the radio is hip hop, and it's not.
Actually, I'm going to transition beyond the radio. I'm going to really stick with the streaming services, which is the key thing for all of these gentlemen. I don't think radio really matters to any of these guys now. It is the hip hop, you know. Once you see the headline, artist Maple Leaf in this case surpasses 1 billion streams. Okay, I mean, what does that really mean? I mean,
nothing.
Right.
It means that you should celebrate that shit. It means that he is the fucking man. He's been breaking all kinds of fucking records.
Yeah,
we thought it was going to happen before it came out.
I'm sorry. No, let me be real. It does mean something. It does mean something to be heard 1 billion times. I'm not going to... But what does it mean when you sell 25 million albums? Is it the same?
Equivalent, I guess it is. According to them, it means the same thing.
The acid test will always be time. And that is why I am ultra, ultra bullish on true hip hop. Because time. Michael Jackson, you can say what you want about Jackson, but Jackson still got a pretty good stream count. Nobody's counting them. But Jackson's pretty consistent over time, okay? See, I'm of the opinion that a guy like the Maple Leaf over time. See, a couple of outlets did, after the 1 billion stream, talked about, well, his streaming numbers went down 69%. You know, after that initial stands all got on their phones and geeked out for a week.
Or you got slid up in your ultra magnetic playlist.
Well, we know that situation, but I'm just saying. So that's why I'm bullish on it. So when I seen this article, I was like, yo, hip hop is evolving, but I don't think hip hop is evolving in the way that commercial guys think that it's evolving. And trust me, or maybe it is, because if a future nut like Pump can take your boy out, meaning the Maple Leaf, it's not saying that he will or he won't, I don't give a fuck about any of them, but that's not hip hop. And we're going to continue to point that out on this show. It's probably one of the main reasons why the show exists, is a compass, is to say, you know, well, damn, y'all niggas hating, or whatever. It's just hip hop is pretty simple, and a gang of that shit is not. He is a professional pop rapper. Yeah, those guys can be around, you know.
And that's okay.
And it's cool. He's a pop artist. It's exactly what he is. He's a pop artist.
Yeah, I don't understand why that's such a negative thing, though, either.
Because
pop is popular, right?
Pop means popular. And he's a pop artist is what he is. But I guess it takes away the street edge. And I'm like, well, Drake ain't street. Yeah, so, but
this is a key thing. When we talk, I think this is also a key thing here. You got to remember, this is how it's marketed. See, how does Drake stand on his own? Without him being in, somebody squeezed him in a picture between Tupac and Biggie. But no, and I'm saying, right, there you go. The look on your face swerve says it all, and I know the listeners can't see it. But where does he stand on his own? He doesn't. So they have to juxtapose him in between like two titans. in order for him to mean anything. You can put up a picture of Tupac on his own, and that's Tupac.
But why can't Drake just mean something on his own?
Because he can't.
Because, I mean, but he's popular.
Yeah, you're right. Very popular. He's very popular, but that's what I'm saying. Over time.
B, over time, you are correct. Over time, the streaming numbers are going to go down. Niggas are not going to be into Drake as much. And he's not going to be the man anymore. But what it is they need a reason to justify this nigga.
There you go.
Because we keep shutting him down every time they try to build him up. Something pops up to break his ass down. And ever since your boy beat him up with that record, that diss record, they trying to prop him up in stilts, fucking bandages. They trying to hook him up any kind of way they can right now.
And this is the key thing. And a billion streams, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't mean any fucking thing.
The billion streams is the thing that they thinking that's going to help put his ass in a mummy wrap. To bandage him up and get him tightened up again.
The title of the article was something about Drake falls into the same category with paranoid albums. Like Scorpion is this paranoid album in the way that Biggie and both Tupac made paranoid albums. Yo, it's ridiculous, but they need that to prop him up, because on his own, his music is really empty. It's zero. These other guys stand on their own. When you put pictures up, you don't need to put a picture of Dr. Dre next to Primo. They stand on their own.
But like I said, B, they need to bandage this nigga up in any way they can. He's been beat up. His image has been damaged. And they got to fucking fix him somehow. The nigga, what he need, I'm going to tell you what he need. He needs some nightshade. He need to get him some nightshade. Go to Jamaica and get some nightshade.
B, I'm trying to tell you.
I don't think so. I think those of us that knew from the door, and those that are going to ride and stand for him are going to ride and stand for him. So it's all fucked up.
It's all right. I'm any Hurricane Chris Riders out there?
Ooh.
Oh,
but Hurricane Chris was never as big as Drake.
No, but I'm just saying. But it, the same principles apply.
That's he was.
You say what?
The golden tank in him was.
Yeah, Master P was huge.
Hey, yeah. Look, let me tell you something, man. Hey, and again, like I said, that's why I'm bullish. I'm bullish on the actual self-regulating things in hip-hop that really have proven to be the long-term arbiter of what is true in the culture. This guy, I'm telling you, and I wish I'm here to see it, but when they start writing, when some guy in history looks back and he's like, boy, if you really take the sum of the biggest guys in rap and where the ultimate fall came, he will name Vanillas, he will name Hammers, and the Maple Leaf will be right there. He'll be right there, is ungodly huge as far as the computer algorithm tells us. His music really wasn't that good or that effective.
Then again, I don't care about the dude, but what is the draw then, sir? But
there's a lot of people that fucks with this man. They love Drake hard.
So something has to be good that we don't get.
We don't get it. They love this nigga like we love Run DMC back in the day and thought they was everything. This nigga is everything to them. We don't see it in that way, but they do. And they'll tell us, you just old motherfucker.
And that's fine. Then you don't have to use propping him up against somebody else from the past to justify him. But they keep doing it.
To try to satisfy us. I don't know why they keep trying to satisfy us. Is that what I'm thinking it is? Why do you keep trying to... Fuck us. We don't matter.
Yeah, we don't.
We don't matter.
So.
Well, I loved it, my mama, but I did not like her spinach. So. It is what it is. We not going to like Drake no matter what, yo.
Right.
Kurt might.
I got no issues with the nigga like that. But I'm just saying, he's not hip-hop. He never was.
Okay. There it is.
And see, when you say that, then you go back to your question, then why not embrace the fact that, you know, he raps, but he's not hip-hop. And why, again, you'd have to ask the young boy. I'm sure somebody on the text chain will lecture us on this. But why is he hip hop? Or why would he have to be justified as hip hop? I don't know why he just can't be a pop guy and you can put him in a picture next to Taylor Swift or Adele. Wouldn't that be just as well?
Rico Suave rapped, but he wasn't fucking hip hop.
Damn.
Yo, Rico Suave getting beat?
I'm just saying, B. You saying he raps, but this nigga's not hip hop. That's what he does, he raps.
He's popular.
He's very popular. Very, very fucking popular.
Embrace it.
All right.
And he's not going anywhere.
All right. So, well, 500 show or not, you know how it is. You know it. We live it. We love it. Kurt G's album of the week.
All right. This week, we got Destruct and High Fly, The Chronic Blues, Volume 2. That's Destruct and High Fly, The Chronic Blues, Volume 2. And we got Apollo Brown and Locksmith, No Question. That's Apollo Brown and Locksmith, No Question. And the instrumental joint is Funkonami, Low Fidelity Whisperer. That's Funkonami, Low Fidelity Whisperer.
Crazy.
Crazy.
So, no doubt. And again, I just want to give a shout out to all the artists who are submitting to the Hip Hop Digest commemorative 500 episode mixtape. Again, I want to reiterate, nothing's going to happen until the drop dead date. So everybody relax, do your best, and submit.
Right. We're not going to listen to any of the joints, not least us two. We're not listening to nothing until everything is done. To the deadline, drop deadline date, then we'll be going in to listen.
Right. And two, for you guys who are unhappy about the demolition of the bucket, don't worry. We got you. I'm going to hold you down, but fuck the bucket. I'm out.
And bringing up a positive note as we leave the show, the 500 show, I'd like to thank every single person that we've ever had the opportunity to interview on here. I appreciate you two brothers. I appreciate all the listeners worldwide. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
One.
Peace.
Hey, yo, what's up, dope man? Hey, yo, what's up, dope man? Hey, yo, what's up, dope man?
Reminiscing the past, the minutes had just passed. Had to refine self, I did it and still crashed again. So I thank my fam and friends, gotcha. Pity me not, losses come with life often. Limited time clocking, literally a monster. Envision a boss at work, you're now sponsors. Avocado, broccoli, green, shall I spark up? Here's a Monopoly theme, the board walk up. Just the profit is bucks before the love. I pin that miracle whip, I'm on the uprise. Must I murder you all to be a tough guy? Fuck y'all, rather rebuild my whip. Fuck high, leather smooth, whether you debate. Yes, the credits due, revenue, reverend rap. When I'm blessing you, abide by many machines I seen drive by. Self-made corporate blacks in that high rise.
Don't waste your time, don't waste your time.
Why stop giving your gems before my lights out? Lights out, giving you shine, and then you find out. Time out, permanent rest, a pen a line out. Divine how infinite jewels you get limited. Been a legend, of course, we exhibit the skill. Finna give you the feel of that hand one, mad 1 minute of music. Y'all can't run, handgun giving you heat when y'all blasting a track by Ninja and Wig. It's that action, live and unedited time. You give credit, it's amazing. We blazing trails like that, medicine of life. When we giving you light, the kind Edison, a cold sign of pity. In no time, we blessing them all. Finna give you the bars and that whole nine pro time, repping it well. When
y'all slow down.
Yeah. Role models with the gold bottles, stay pimping. No fossils, beige linen, praise women. For the times in my life, why I became driven, stay spitting natural, chain linking the fame different. There's no irony, gifted as a prompted bold figure with the fiery. Raps, they acquire me. I dread what the child with no father had to go through. The shortcomings of a flawed man, remorseful. No hypotheses, the ancient scripture missing. With no prophecies, we waste a lottery. Talking revenue prominent on the working clock. Sometimes it was worth the shot, other times was probably not. Stuck in the times, pressure to shine. You nasty nine, subtracted from the fraction of crime. Addressing the mind, killing over nickels and dimes. Loose change since Obama's decline. I mean, it's part of the crime.
Survival of the realest with the quota songs. We fighting and rebuilding, so we holding on. To thrive, we don't move up on the life goals. Hype though, vision of living can go in cycles. Survival of the realest with the quota songs. We fighting and rebuilding, so we holding on. To thrive, we don't move up on the life goals. Hype though, vision of living can go in cycles.
This sounds fly in the Tesla X. I started living my brain, so I demand respect. Connect with the larger picture to collect the check. With reality, you grip the tool like Malcolm X. It's mathematics with the Christ teachings. Light speaking, gather untainted thoughts with the mic reaching. We praise the living God and God living. From raw linen to high denim and winning, that's God willing. Hope you recognize the God in them. There's no fraud in them. The coke snow, we called it John Lennon. An ordinary man that's called legend. Evolved premise, triggers and weapons is what revolved with them. Encrypted the vital codes for the rival woes. Diminished the power given to rival foes. They wanted the liquor but got the powdered dose. Lying froze, clearly been gifted to take the higher road.
Survival of the realest with the quota songs. We fighting and rebuilding, so we holding on. To thrive, we don't move up on the life goals. Hype though, vision of living can go in cycles. Survival of the realest with the quote of songs. We fighting and rebuilding, so we holding on. To thrive, we don't move up on the life goals. Hype though, vision of living can go in cycles.
We have guns.
Now, what you have a bullet?
Niggas can't fuck with the flow. Might sell the dog food, might fuck with the snow. Used to have a Mac talk like what's up with a dope. Or I was mashed up, sample like constructs your dope. Like niggas lay it down, pussy, where the fuck is the dope? Wind shot, they gotta scrape your brain up from the flow. I'ma get mines, hustle then hustle some more. But I never blow my bread just to fuck with a hoe. I make music for the rivals, music for the jackers. The backpackers love it, but it's for the gun clappers. Niggas that'll push your shit backwards. Street shit, rap shit, I got it mastered. Think it's a game, I'm a 12 gauge. Knock a chunk out your body when a shell graze you. V2s, a colorway. Body's dropping every summer where I stay, motherfucker.
Bam! Bulletproof. Bam!
Yeah, your bulletproof, I hope.
It's the King Magnetic. Privatized jails want us dumping in public. So the shoddy like a nurse, how it's pumping his stomach. Didn't rush to get published, stretching drugs for a budget. And I punish any beat for my people that thug it. Look, releasing anthems, speaking tantrums, sneak a handgun, seek expansion and reach a mansion.
Each advancement is planned while we eat the fruit. You a thug, I'm an alcoholic, now I need the proof. Let the fever loose, doper than a needle shoot. Exit wound will shrink, homie, head like it's Beetlejuice. If I need a boost, I'm mobile on a sprint. Mexican connect, see I'm global on the flip. Rather chrome me on the hip than chrome me on the whip. Ask anyone that know me, homie on the shit. Magnetic is the name, time to bow to the king. Gun sound like my phone, cause it's loud when it ring.
And I still feel I ain't made it, so I'm taking over like, yeah. I sweat and bleed gorilla DNA. Banana clips, I serve them entree, I'm in the jungle. Yeah, like Nas brother, the Chucky your bride brother. Open your umbrella, flow's raining on them like, yeah. Bricks is where I got it from, I never practice Iverson. Admire the nigga way I do it, yeah. I'm in Manhattan with my roof missing. Looking like Simmons in that Eldorado Russell put me on, yeah. We worldwide, my name tatted on your girl thigh with fire in my bones, I'm Jeremiah, yeah. I love this rap game, just gazelle flames on Dana Dane. Blame red with your little kids say, yeah. I got momentum, my Levi denim got purple in them. Cops start shuffling them, cause I put in work, yeah. Hip hop got me feeling real big, yeah. Hip hop got me feeling real grown, yeah. Hip hop got me all around the world, ha. Yeah, I told her that I'm unbelievable. Yeah, I told them all that I'm unbelievable. Yeah. Yo, red back again like, yeah. You know the deal, it's not a joke when my boys take the key and peel. I grill on them like, yeah, I flex on them. Fuck the world, don't ask me for shit. This part two with Biggie and Meth on it, yeah. It's been a while, but when I drop, they hawk, I'm foul. But the white hard, Steve said my weed loud, yeah. So nowadays, a gun to a nigga haircut, it's how you shoot the fade. I'm pumped like Triple A, nigga, yeah. Hip hop got me feeling real big, yeah. Hip hop got me feeling real grown, yeah. Hip hop got me all around the world, ha. Yeah, I told her that I'm unbelievable. Yeah, I told them all that I'm unbelievable.
Some may say they're greater on the fader, but there's no more nice. Beat straight out of Power Kingdom. Paul came to bring them. So you see, you can throw your hands up and swing them. Side to side, like left to right. Since way back in the good old days of Dolomite.
Oh, nice.
They call him Pablo Ismail. For Breeze Fresh when the competition is stale. Beats anonymous, some dark and ominous. Some up tempo, either way, boy, I promise it's gonna be breaks for days when he plays dope records. You ain't hearing from the other DJs. Take it for Phil. He ain't over the hill. He put the record on a platter like Soul on the grill. Craig Carrion, drum library. For breaks and slices like a cesarean. Bringing life when they said hip-hop's dead. Put it to bed cause they never said it to me. Desi, Dez, and Rez won't tell you better than me. The definition of N-I-C-E-E-E.
Lesson 1. How to cut and paste.
Face.
Let's start with something simple.
Ain't nothing to about to do it.
You know it, man. You know, cause we gon' rock them, man, cause we got the fresh stuff.
You know it, man. You know it,
la 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 la.
About the two, let's tell you,
the brothers that they call Fabrizio.
We're doing it just for you. Now, people, clap your hands, clap, just clap your hands.
Come on.
While you're rocking to the beat of the two, and we got the master plans. Clap your hands,
try another mix. This is called Breaking It Down. Get it. Understanding basic cut and paste techniques. So let us wind things down.